Thank you for joining us in this Microsoft Power BI Embedded Learning video. And in this video, we are going to talk about the security elements of Microsoft Power BI Embedded. I am Saptarshi Mukherjee, Senior Product Marketing Manager for Microsoft Power BI Embedded. And today we are joined by Josh Kaplan.
Yeah, I'm Josh Kaplan. I'm the Senior Program Manager on Power BI Embedded.
So we're going to talk today, Josh, about security for Microsoft Power BI Embedded. So in the previous videos, we have seen how to create a compelling report, how to embed that report inside an app. And then the questions that we hear from developers and ISVs about how does security work for Embedded?
Yeah, you've created that report. Now you only want certain people to be able to access that report. And even sometimes you want certain people to only see certain data within that report. So you've used Power BI before. And when you sign up for Power BI, you sign up, you get a subscription, and then you actually log into the Power BI portal using your corporate email address. Mm-hmm. Well, we don't have the Power BI portal in this case. All we have is your application, the application that you're embedding the report into. So if you look at my screen here, I actually have the sample application that we make available to get started with. And it is, just like I said, a full-blown web app. I log in here, I see my homepage. Now I'm logged in here not as a Power BI user, I'm logged in here as a user of the sample application. And if I drop down here, you'll see that this is a user of that app, and it's not an AAD user, it's not part of Azure Active Directory. The application itself is actually using a custom form of authentication. But we still want to make sure that we can secure the artifacts of Power BI, even though this is not Power BI authentication or AAD authentication. So to do that, we've actually created a concept we call app tokens. Mm-hmm. The reason we brought in app tokens is because we wanted your application to still be the gateway for the user, the thing the user logs into, it authenticates, it authorizes the user, but then it can delegate to Power BI as to what that user can then see. So the way that works is we have your application here on the left that has its users, its authentication providers, all the different permissions of what that user is allowed to see. And then on the right-hand side here, you have everything you've created in Power BI, your workspace collections, your workspaces, the different reports. So now if you want to get a user access to the first report, well, you've already logged them in, you've authenticated, you've authorized them, you've said they're allowed to see the first report. Mm-hmm. So what you'll start to do is you'll start to generate one of these app tokens. And actually, before you do that, you're going to want to copy out the API keys we give you. When you create your workspace collection, we're going to generate a set of API keys that you want to copy out. You can do that either through our APIs, you can do it right through the Azure UI. And you're going to store those API keys somewhere in your application securely. Treat these like passwords. These are now a shared secret that we have between us at Power BI and you on your own application. Now you're going to use these API keys to go ahead and generate the app tokens when it's time to embed. So now when you want to get that user access to report one, you're going to start creating a JOT token, we call it, or JSON web token. So it's a little blob of JSON. And in that little blob of JSON, you're going to add in things like some claims, like the user can view report one. Report one's going to have an ID on it. You'll put that report ID in there. You also say which workspace this goes with, which workspace collection it's for. And you'll set some expiration time. Mm-hmm. The reason we have an expiration time on here is because you're going to end up passing this token back to your client code that runs in the user's browser. And it's going to provide access to that resource for some period of time, whatever that expiration time is. Now, if you set it to a really long period of time and someone happens to get their hands on that token, they will have access to that report for that length of time. And the only way to revoke that access is to revoke all the tokens that are out there, which might be disruptive to all your users. So what you want to do is you want to set these tokens for as short of time frame as possible. Sometimes 5 minutes if you expect the user to only be using the report for 5 minutes. Typically, an hour is a good time frame. You'll set that token for an hour. They'll view the report. If something should happen to leak out, then the token will expire. The person who got that token can no longer view that report. So back to this, though, we've started creating our token. We've put the claims on there. Now we're going to take our API key, and we're going to sign that token. Mm-hmm. So now the token's digitally signed. If anyone was to go in and try to modify the token, they couldn't do that unless they actually had the API keys to go ahead and re-sign them. So you now take that token, which says the user can view report one, hand it back to your client code running in that user's browser, and then that client code can go talk to Power BI directly and attempt to render that report. When they do that, we're going to look at the API keys that we have on file and say, okay, do these match? Is this properly signed? If it is, yes. Does it have the proper claims for what it's trying to do? If it does, we'll go say, okay, is it still valid? Has it expired? No, it hasn't expired. It's still valid. Everything checks out. The user can now go ahead and view report one.
Okay.
So this leaves all the authorization still within control of your application. So if today the user could see report one and tomorrow they can't, when they log in tomorrow, don't let them see report one. Don't give them that access token. There's nothing you have to copy over to us to make this work. If you have 1,000 different users and you have 20 different reports, you can put them all in one workspace and you can just create different tokens for different users to see different reports.
That makes
sense. So everything is at a very fine-grained level of control, and your application has total access to controlling who sees what reports, but also controlling the other resources of your application itself. So the security is not something specific to Power BI. You're probably doing these things in other aspects of your app. So we wanted to make sure you didn't have to invent a whole new process to do security for Power BI. That would be different from the way you're doing security for the rest of the app.
So for the end user of the app, it's a complete native experience. Once they're inside the app, the same credentials for the user will expose them the right set of reports that are meant for them.
Yep. And what we kind of did here was, we say we have multiple reports, report one, report two, and you could have thousands of these.
Mm-hmm.
And then hopefully you have thousands of users, but you have user one, and user two. What the app tokens let you do is, if user one can see report one, you'll generate an app token that lets them see report one. That should be it too. If user two can see report two, generate an app token that can see report two. User one can't see report two with the app token it has, and vice versa, the same thing. Now, if user one all of a sudden has your ACLs changed and user one now has access to report two, you generate a second token for them, and they can go ahead and see report two. And you're gonna generate these tokens every time they go to view the reports, because remember, these are short-lived tokens. You're only gonna make them for the life of the session of viewing that report. Now, this lets you actually control who sees which objects, and there's good reason to want to control different objects. You might actually have a personalized report for every single user, so maybe each report will only ever be seen by one user. Or you might have a few shared reports that are shared by lots of different users, and that all can be done by this app token. You might have sales managers and sales reps, and maybe sales managers see different reports.
Sure.
Sales reps see a different report specific for them. So the app token method lets you actually do this stuff while maintaining complete control within your app itself.
That makes sense. Can we take a look at how do you generate an app token, essentially?
Yeah.
And how does it work programmatically?
So the app tokens themselves, it looks something like this. Let me zoom in here. This is all in our documentation. It's just a little piece of JSON. So type JWT, and then if you look inside the claims here, you're gonna have that WID is the workspace ID. This RID here, this is the report ID. So this is the GUID for that report. Mm-hmm. And you find these from our APIs. You also get it back when you upload the report programmatically. It will tell you what the IDs are. My workspace collection name, this is what I named my workspace collection when I created it in Azure. Where they were issued from, the version of the token. And then the expiration time. I can also say the token is not valid until a certain time. So that's what that NBF is, not before. So those are the basics of the token. Now you're gonna have to sign this JOT with your API keys. And to get your API keys, you have a couple options. You can go into the Azure portal itself. You can find one of your workspace collections, and on that workspace collection, there's an option for access keys. You'll have two keys in here. You only ever need one key at a time. The reason you have two keys is because you can regenerate these, and it's a good idea to do that periodically, just a good security measure. But you don't want to interrupt your service while you're regenerating these keys. So what you would do is, first you'd be generating all your app tokens with the first key, and then say you set your expirations to about an hour. What you'd do is, you'd start generating all your tokens now with the second key, then you'd wait an hour for all those old tokens to expire. Once they're expired, you'd go ahead and regenerate the first key. And then you'd start creating all your app tokens now with that new key. Wait another hour, regenerate your second key, now you have two new keys and you didn't interrupt your services at all. So we have two keys there, it's basically so you can roll the tokens periodically to make sure you're keeping it secure.
That makes sense.
And anything, again, you can do in the UI, you can also do through the API, so you can get these API keys. These access keys right now through the API itself.
Oh, I can get the access key from using an API and then...
You can use the API, you can use PowerShell, you can use any of the tools we have available.
Oh, that's perfect. So we get a concept of how it works in this environment. What about multi-tenancy? Say, for example, I'm an application provider. I have multiple customers who are in turn have multiple users.
Yeah.
So how do I take care of multi-tenancy through the Power BI embedded security features?
Yeah, so this worked well when we had just object-level security. This user could see these reports, but this user could only see this report. Well, what happens, though, if it's a little bit different? We just had one report, and then each user sees the same exact report, but they see different stuff within the report. This user, you know, user one sees this slice, user two sees this slice. They're looking at the same report, and they want to see different data. Now, we don't want to generate different reports for every single user. We want to make sure that you can reuse as few things as possible with as many people as possible, really.
Sure.
So if we come back to the example that we had here, our little sample app. Yeah, I'm logged in here as Joe from theveryrealcontoso.com, and we can look at the report that I created earlier in the Power BI desktop. And Joe's from Contoso. Let's say this was an application. It was maybe an e-commerce site. And different customers can sell products on this e-commerce site. They may have different sales reps that work for them that sell the products. And when they log in, they should see only sales data for their products. Like if I'm selling something and you're in a totally different company and you're selling something, I shouldn't be able to see how your sales are doing. So Joe's in here from Contoso. He's logged in. We have one report here. But if you look at the names of the sales reps, you'll see there's some from Contoso, but there's also some from AdventureWorks, which is a totally different company. So Joe should not be seeing AdventureWorks sales. Now, we could make a separate report for each customer, but that can get kind of expensive.
Right.
So we can use a feature now known as RLS, or row level security, to actually let you reuse the same reports, but all see different data. And we can do that by going back to the Power BI desktop. I have the same report in the Power BI desktop. And we can make some changes to it. Now, Joe works for Contoso, and other people work for AdventureWorks. And all the users of my application, well, so actually, when we log in, when Joe logs in, we want to make sure he only sees Contoso. So we can do that in a couple ways. One is I come in here, and I can go ahead and create a new role. I have this little tenant table down here, so I could go and create a new role called, let's say, Contoso. And on the tenant table, I'm going to say where name equals Contoso. And then when my user logs in, I can just pass the role in as Contoso. I can do another one for AdventureWorks, and when an AdventureWorks user logs in, when I create that app token, I'll say they're an AdventureWorks user and they'd only see AdventureWorks data. You would basically apply a filter to that tenant table. That works, but you don't want to, hopefully you have thousands of customers, hundreds of customers.
Yep.
So you don't want to actually go through and create a role, have to go open up the desktop file, go in, create a role every single time a new user comes in. It's time consuming, it's expensive. So you can actually be a little bit more dynamic than that. So I'm going to draw something that looks a little bit like what I have on my screen now. Typically you might have a schema that looks something like this. We have a fact table, this could be like fact, sales. Then you kind of have these little domain or dimension tables like date. You might have like a geography. You might have something like product. Maybe, I don't know, customer. And they'll have relationships to your fact table. And what we want to do is we want to filter by whoever's logged in so they get a personal view. So the way filters work in Power BI is they move in a direction. So if you look on my screen here, you have these little elevator buttons. They're arrows. And usually they're pointing in one direction. Sometimes they're pointing in two directions. What they mean is they actually signify the filter direction. So if I draw them on here, I'll draw the arrows pointing all towards our fact table. What this means is if I put a filter on date, it's going to filter down the sales table. But it's going to stop here because it's not going to then go ahead and filter the customer table, or it's not going to go filter the product table, it's not going to filter the geography table. And the same for all the other tables we have here. If I put a filter on the sales table, it's not going to go ahead and filter the other tables, it's just going to filter the sales table. So we actually have another, in the example I'm showing here, I actually have another table. There's actually a column on here for each of the sales reps who actually made the sale. So we know by the sales, you know, which sales rep made the sale. And if I wanted to, I could filter down to just show that sales rep's data by just putting a filter directly on that fact table itself. That user comes in, user only sees their sales. But I want to make sure they can actually, in this case, see the sales for their entire company, but not anyone else's company. So I want to secure this by the different tenants. So actually, I have a column on here called tenant.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to be able to make sure that when a user logs in, they see their they see just the data for their tenant. And a tenant, you can think of as a company that sold the, sure. sold the sales. So maybe AdventureWorks or Contoso. So the user's logging in. I need to know what tenant they belong to. So I have a little also a tenant table here. A tenant table here. Just kind of like our tenant dimension table, just like we have a date table. And it relates to that sales table based on tenant. And I have another table called users. My left-handedness is getting in my way. Which has all the users that sell products in my site, can log into my site, maps directly to all the usernames I generate. And I have another table that says, okay, which users can see which tenants. So I call it the user tenant table. So obviously this can relate to tenant right here. And control our filter direction. And users can relate to the user tenant table here. So what I want to do is the user logs in, I figure out who that user is, and I apply a filter to this table. So when I apply a filter to the user table, that's where their username is going to mm-hmm. be. It's going to go ahead and filter down the user tenant table.
Yep.
But by default, when you build a report in Power BI, we always kind of filter to the many direction. So you have a one-to-many relationship in all cases, or one-to-one sometimes. But if it's a one-to-many, we always have a filter direction set towards the many. So the one, which is usually a dimension, filters down the many, which is the usually on the fact table. So by default, you'll get something that looks like this, where the filter direction from tenant is actually pointing towards the user tenant table, because the tenant column is actually going to be repeated in here multiple times, where sure. here it's unique. So when we filter down user, it's going to filter down user tenant, but it's going to stop here. So what you need to do is actually come into the Power BI desktop and flip your filter direction from single to both. So it says cross filter direction. By default, it'll probably say single. You'll set it to both. And what that will do is basically make 2 hours here. So now the filter can flow from user tenant down to tenant, and then from tenant can automatically flow to fact, the fact of the sales table in this case. Now for security, this would work for typical filters, any kind of the numeral filter that you do on, you know, on the report, like a page filter or a report filter. For security, there's one extra thing you have to do, and that is check this box here that says apply security filter in both directions. There are some reasons that maybe you want to have normal user filters go in both directions, but you may not want a security mm-hmm. filter to go in both directions. You know, some things I could think of, if the user didn't have any sales yet, but you wanted to see the total list of products, you wouldn't want to flow the filter all the way through to product. But also, you don't want to show them any sales. So you know, there are certain reasons when you want to have the security option turned on or off. This one, we definitely want to have it turned on because our whole goal is to filter down the sales table based on who the user is. So one other thing is if you are using direct query, we call this bi-directional cross-filtering option. Will be turned off by default. It'll always be set to single, and you won't be able to change it until you come into your options. Click on options here. And under, right now it's a preview feature, but you can say enable cross-filtering in both directions. You turn that on. Then you'll be able to change those options like I mentioned. This is still in preview. The actual cross-filtering is still in preview in the Power BI desktop for just a little bit longer, and it'll be moved to GA pretty soon. The same feature is actually already GA in SQL Server 2016. All right, so now we have our schema set up the way we need it. So you can see now, if we go back to the real example, I have three tables there, I have the relationships there. Now we want to apply that filter to user. And we don't want to do it by creating roles for every single user, because that'd be even worse than our last example, we were trying to do it for every company. So we're going to do something more dynamic here. So we're going to create one role that no matter who logs in, it'll have a different behavior for that user and filter down just to what that user is allowed to see. So click on Manage Roles and create a new role. I'm going to call this one Tenant, because every user who logs in is only going to see their tenant. And now we have our user table. And the users have a name. So you're going to say name equals. Then we have this username function. And what this is a function that every time it runs, it's going to return the name of the currently logged in user. So I log in, it's going to have my name. You log in, it's going to have your name.
Sure.
And it's going to be figured out dynamically at runtime. So I can go ahead and say save. Now I can actually test this out in the desktop before you go live. I'm going to go grab one of my usernames. So let's take one of the AdventureWorks users. If I flip back over to the report, under modeling, I can say, okay, view as. And we're going to view as that one tenant role I created. And I can type in a username. We'll do the AdventureWorks user. And now, we look at the revenue by sales rep. I only see AdventureWorks sales reps. And every metric on here is actually only filtered for AdventureWorks. And there's no way for the user to overwrite this in the service. In the desktop, I can go in and just turn that impersonation mode off. But when they're actually running this on the web, there's no way for them to overwrite this. Now to actually go ahead and pass this through to the web, you have to do something a little bit different when you generate your app tokens. Now remember, the users are logging into your application. Your application is controlling the security. Your application knows who the users are. We actually have no idea who the actual end user is. So you need to tell us that or something that feeds into that username function. So just like I passed in kind of a string here, or I put in the username, the AdventureWorks username, you pass in that string when you're generating your app token as well. And it could be the username, it could be really anything you want, but that's what that username function that I showed earlier is going to return, so whatever you pass in that app token.
Sure.
So what that kind of looks like is if we go back here, as you see down here, username, there's a new claim on there called username. And that's that string. It could be AdventureWorks. It could be anything you really want that's a string. It doesn't actually have to be the user. And also which role you want it applied to. So we create that tenant role. I'll pass in the tenant role. It could be one or many roles. You can make this an array of values. But for each role that gets applied, it's going to look at the values inside that role, apply those roles, and then if there's more dynamic queries in there that use the username function, it'll pass through whatever you put in that username claim directly into those formulas. Those formulas will then go ahead and apply filters, and that will change what your user sees. So if you actually look at it, come back to the web now, I already kind of pre-uploaded it. We were logged in as Joe here. I'll flip over to the secured view where I actually had the RLS rules applied. Joe should only see Contoso now. And when it loads, we'll see a little flyout. See, now we only see sales reps for Contoso. All the data we see is only Contoso data. So our security was applied. Now to actually go ahead and do this, to do that piece of the token that I was showing, you could go ahead and just generate the job manually like we do here, sign it with that API key. We can also use our SDKs to go ahead and generate the tokens. So if I actually look at the code for that website, now this is how we were generating the token originally. This is our .NET SDK. We're calling create report embed token. We're giving it the workspace collection name, the workspace ID, and the report ID. And somewhere a little higher up in the code, we actually gave it those API keys. And it's going ahead and giving us back a JOT token. Now we can change this a little bit. And we can pass in two extra claims. One is the username, and one is the tenant. When you're doing this for real, you're probably not going to hard code the username like I did there. You're going to want to take that from the user who's actually signed in from the way your app's doing the authentication. But here I hard coded it, it's just to Joe. And basically whatever you pass in here is what's going to show up on the app token, is what's going to be passed into the report, which is going to then go into that username function, which is going to filter down all the data.
Perfect. Now, to enable the row-level security and make the multi-tenant security work, what's the impact of change in the core app or the application database?
There's no major change there. You're still going to log in the users how you continue to log them in. It really depends then on the complexity of your security. So in this case, I needed to know how users map tenants. I basically need to have the data to secure on somewhere within the service. So if it was something like, let's say username was directly on the sales table, and I just wanted users to see their own username, I could just directly pass in the username on the app token, put a filter on here, it'd be done. Really simple. But since I want to do a little bit extra here and I want to make it so there's some mapping, like you could picture it, maybe a more realistic case would be, you have a sales product where users see all sales in their sales territory. And then they have managers who sees all the sales and all the territories that their people manage. That gets a little more complicated. So you need to have the data in here so you can write those queries that can look up against that data to figure out what the user is allowed to see and then apply it to the rest of the model.
That's right.
So depending on your use cases, how dynamic your security is, you might have to do very, very little, or you might have to actually bring some more data into this data set so you can apply that level of dynamic security to it. But anything you can think of should be possible. There's just different techniques of doing it. And there's all this has been around since the Analysis Services product was launched. And then the more recent iteration of Tabular in like 2010, this came back in a new form. So there's lots of white papers out there. There's one that came out recently that actually talks about the different patterns and how to apply those. So there's a lot of research online. If you go and look for just analysis services, row-level security, you'll see a lot of examples that you can use and a lot of different case studies that you can follow.
That's great. So this is really helpful for all you who are building SaaS applications and you want to offer the same report with different data and relevant data to multiple customers, and this is how to get it operationalized.
Yeah, and you can think about what this means is you could have, let's say your application only ever had one report, and you have 100,000 users in 700 different companies. You could literally have one workspace collection, one workspace, one report, one data set, and everyone sees the same. Everyone looks at the same report but sees something different. And that would be the totality of everything you have to set up.
So yeah, this is great. So how do the developers and ISVs, where do they go to learn more about security in Parmia Embedded?
Well, I mentioned some of the stuff you can find by just for searching for row-level security and analysis services. Now, this is something that's a little bit new to Power BI, but something that's been out there for many, many years. You can also go to our documentation site on the Azure Documentation Center, and you'll see a couple articles in here. One is authenticating and authorizing with Power BI Embedded, and the other one is just row-level security in Power BI Embedded. And the row-level security one, I give you a kind of a walkthrough of just what we did, but you can download a file, you can modify that file to apply the security, then we kind of show you how to create the tokens in the end, and you can go ahead and embed that. So that gives you a little bit more of a hands-on. We're continuously trying to update this and put more information on there, so keep checking back the docs, and also check out dev.powerbi.com.
Thank you. I think this is really helpful information for all of you. As Josh mentioned, visit dev.powerbi.com and the Azure documentation page for Power BI Embedded for continuous update. Thank you, Josh.
Thank you.